singing out, I bless your name. This morning, somebody say praise the Lord. My goodness, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. we're glad you're here. We had a time here last night. Did you enjoy the service? Praise the Lord. Looking forward to what God has in store for us today. I believe it's going to be good, don't you? It's never been bad. It's always been good. We just thank God for this privilege to be back into His house this morning. It's good to be in church. Why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God this morning. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Brett, if you'd get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord. Brother Jerry Glenn wants to request prayer for his sister-in-law, Jane Glenn. She was not able to be in the service today due to, what is that, Brother Jerry? Okay. She's just not feeling good this morning, and we certainly want to pray for her. Glad to have Brother Jerry's brother back in service with us today. God bless you. We love you, buddy. You've been here. This is what, your third service? Well, we're going to fill out adoption papers on you and your wife this morning. We will just take you and keep you. Praise the Lord. Brother Wes Willis' mother had to go to the emergency room last night. She is now back home, and they're thanking the Lord for that. They're just asking that we would remember her, and her husband passed away just recently, Brother Wes, his father, and so they're just still going through a hard time due to that. So let's pray for that home, that family, that lady this morning, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Sister Roseanne Caraway offers this testimony this morning. After the doctors ran some tests about 2 months ago, I began having some complications in my pregnancy. They wanted to give me medical treatment that I wasn't comfortable with. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Andrew Glover and the church prayed. He gave me a prayer cloth that I have kept on me. This week, another test was run, and I want to praise my sweet Jesus because all the tests came back normal, and she's thanking the Lord for that this morning. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to remember Sister Cato in prayer this morning. She has a birthday this week. Please don't forget our shut-ins. A phone call or a visit would be appreciated. So if you could do that, it would mean a lot to her, I'm sure. So remember that. I want to pray for Brother Eddie Yance this morning. He was taken to the emergency room for possible pneumonia. He just, talking to him again last night, he just said, every time you see me, you're looking at a miracle. And the fact that I can wear my own clothes and come to the house of the Lord, he's very thankful for that. So we certainly want to pray for him this morning, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Now, prayer request, Brother Danny Barclay, someone that rents from him, had to be taken to the hospital. I believe Brother Kenneth said he saw a rescue squad there at Brother Barclay's home this morning. Let's remember that situation, ever what it would be. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation this morning.
all the unspoken prayer requests. If you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, certainly want to continue to pray for our pastor. Had some surgery, minor surgery done this week, and had a few side effects from that. So let's pray that the Lord would just touch him and be with him. God is greater than whatever our problems are. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I believe that. If you didn't believe in miracles, what would you believe? You didn't believe God is still as real today as he ever was, what would you believe? I wouldn't believe nothing, would you? I'd just be out here running around, wouldn't believe nothing. I believe he's God. He's always been God, and he's still God today. Do you love him with all your heart? Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Brother Brett, God bless you. We appreciate this young man. Right here is a miracle. This is a miracle. He went to a denominational church system, gave his heart to the Lord. And that's a miracle. Somebody giving their heart to the Lord is a miracle. Then he comes to visit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Come to visit. And now you see what he's turned into. We love him, don't we? Give him a good hand this morning. Love you, brother. Thank you.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given to us, Lord, that you just give us this privilege to be able to come together, Lord, and just be able to be united under your word, Lord. And you just anoint us just to be able to receive your word, Father, and just be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, we just thank you for the life that you give us, Father, and the drawing that we have, Lord. I know, Lord, that I wasn't looking for you. I know that you come looking for me. And I'm so thankful that you found me, Father. Lord, on this Father's Day, Lord, I thank you for my earthly father. And I thank you for the family that you put me under, Lord. But I'm thankful to know that my spiritual father has always been with me. And that he's always kept his hand on me. And Lord, even though these requests, Lord, I have them in my hand, these are real, Lord. These are real requests, Lord. But I know that you have your hand on them too as well. That you're just as much as their spiritual father as you are of mine. And Father, I ask that you just go to them, Lord, those that are sick in their body and those that have complications, those that are going to the hospital, Lord, Brother Eddie Yance or our pastor or others, Lord, to pray that you just put your hand on them, Lord, and may you just heal them and just bring them back to the house, Lord God. And Father, I ask that you just be with Brother Wes Willis and his family, Lord, and during this time and his mother, and pray that you just watch over them, Lord, and just pray that your will is done in that situation, Father. May you just bless today's service as well, Father. May you just bless our brother. May you bring him out, Lord. May he just decrease, Lord. May you just come through to him. Pray that you just bless us as well, Lord, that you'd be able to anoint us, be able to receive it, Father. May we just have your will done in this service, and pray that you're just pleased with our worship, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
And we want to say this morning to our fathers, all you fathers here this morning, we certainly appreciate you. You've got a tremendous responsibility, especially if you're raising teenagers or smaller children in this age. You've got a tremendous responsibility, and we want to say we appreciate every one of you. God bless. Give our dads a nice hand this morning. Now, the Bibles, they're going to be available to all of our graduates. We're going to have them stand and recognize them just in a few minutes. We're going to take care of that this morning. Brother Ben Norod and his wife are going to be singing. Brother John Cockman and his wife, they're visiting here with us in the service today. God bless you. Right back here, raise your hand. No strangers, but give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come and be receiving the offering while I make a couple of announcements, we're going to sing a song this morning. We'll have a couple of specials. Then we're going to have some specials from Brother Ben and Sister Samantha. So let's look forward to that. Let me make this announcement. The pavilion will be closed this evening due to the preparation for Bible school. The menu for the Bible school for the week will be on the Happy Valley Church family Facebook page. If your child cannot eat what is being served, please send a snack with them. Young people will be having vacation Bible school class except Wednesday night. So Brother Michael sends that in. So remember that announcement. And I know you all are looking forward, all those that have went to a lot of trouble to make the Bible school possible. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you. Now, I've got a special little buddy of mine here in service visiting with us this morning, little Josh Hammonds. He's visiting back. Josh, raise your hand back there so we can all see. Bless his heart. He's just a special little friend of ours. He's a special friend to Wanda and Bernie Young, and we're just glad. If you're a visitor, God bless every one of you. We're just glad to have you here this morning. Give our visitors a nice hand, if you will. I don't have no announcement about you, but we're going to sing a song anyway. Let's sing it. I'm so glad for the one thing. Brother Rob, I'm glad I know what lies ahead. Good things lie ahead for you and I. Good things lie ahead for you and I. Somebody say praise the Lord. This road ahead is straight and narrow and leads to a better home. It was made by Christ that day. Change the order of the service. Brother John Cockman, you and Brother Justin Reagan, if y'all come onto the platform, we're getting ready to sing for us. We'll move right on into that. But let's sing this little chorus together. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Enough to break every chain that's trying to hold you back, to hold you down and get you discouraged. There's still power in that name. You believe it this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit this morning, Brother Harry. Y'all remember what key? Just put it in B and we'll turn it into B flat.
There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's still power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Now we want, before we have our songs this morning, as they get ready, all of our graduates, we'd like for you to stand this morning. If you are a high school graduate that graduated this year, would you just stand to your feet? There's, well, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven in here so far, is that right? Seven, maybe more downstairs. But I want to just say to these graduates, I want you all to turn around and look at every one of them. Young people, we appreciate you more than you'll ever know. You are loved and you are appreciated. I want you to give them a nice hand this morning. Matter of fact, I want you to give them a standing ovation this morning. Let's all stand. Give them a standing ovation and a real good hand clap. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You can be seated in your Bibles, young people. They're going to be available for you over in the library. Brother Jim Babb and the guys over there, they have them arranged for you to pick up. So if you go there after service and get your Bibles. I know these, some of these kids and probably most of them graduated with high honors in their school system. And when I went, and when Jimmy and some of us boys went, if we got a D, we was tickled to death. All we wanted was out of that place. But these kids have excelled and done great, and God bless their hearts. We sure appreciate them. God bless them. Somebody say, God bless them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we got two songs this morning. We appreciate our special singers, don't we? Give Brother John Cockman a nice hand as he sings.
Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to everybody. And I appreciate Brother Louie asking me to sing this morning. And I'm happy to welcome my mom and dad here up from North Carolina this morning. Had about a 3-hour drive to get here and bright and early. So this is Brother John Cockman Sr. And I'm going to do a song that my mom wrote just for her. So this is a chorus called Deep Settled Peace. And guys, it's in the key of D. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. It's an anchor that ever will hold. When the rough, angry waves round me roll, there's a deep settled peace in my soul. There's a pure, perfect love in my life. Does away with all envy and strife, making me His obedient wife. There's a pure, perfect love in my life. There's a deep, settled peace in my soul. It's an anchor that ever will hold. When the rough, angry waves round me roll, there's a deep, settled peace in my soul. There's a rapturing faith in my heart, breaks the bonds of this vain world apart. It lets me know I was His from the start. There's a rapturing faith in my heart. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. It's an anchor that ever will hold. When the rough, angry waves round me roll, there's a deep settled peace in my soul. Sing it with me. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. It's an anchor that ever will hold. When the rough, angry waves round me roll, there's a deep settled peace in my soul. When the rough, angry waves round me roll, there's a deep settled peace in my soul. Amen.
Took care of me. I didn't even have to do nothing. I just came up here to play. Y'all expecting this. My dad is the best. Period. A basketball coach one time said, "The greatest gift my father ever gave to me was he believed in me. The greatest gift my father ever gave to me was he showed me how to live a Christian walk. Every day I can look at my dad and I can see Christ living through him. That's the greatest gift a father could ever give a son. I have no excuse at all." My mom tells you that all the time. You have no excuse. It's his fault. Haven't sung this in a long time. It's a song I wrote. I hope it blesses y'all. I know you walked on water, and you calmed the raging sea. I know you turned the water into wine, and you made the blind see. But when I'm at my lowest, helping me to keep, to keep on praying, to keep on singing, to keep on pressing on, to go to your word, to find my peace. 'Cause I'm on my way to victory. And when I stand up again, I'll be stronger than before. And we will win the battle. Oh, and we will win the war. And if I am surrounded, I will keep. I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on singing. I'll keep on pressing on. I'll go to your word to find my peace. 'Cause I'm on my way to victory. I know I don't think right sometimes, and I put myself down. Oh, oh, but I know you'll remind me what I'm meant to be. So I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on singing. Keep on pressing on. I'll go to your word to find my peace. 'Cause I'm on my way to victory. I'm on my way to victory.
You can say you're on your way to victory this morning. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. So good to be back in the house of God. Amen. And I think it's best said, I'm so glad to be a part of God's program. Amen. To be a Christian, to be full of the Holy Ghost, is one of the greatest privileges we could ever be offered in this life. And I so appreciate the Lord and His mercy to us. Amen. I'm going to ask my wife to come sing, if she will, and we'll sing a couple songs, if that's all right. We certainly ain't singers like you've heard already, but we'll still try to sing a little something and try to bless you in some way. And I was glad y'all liked that Higher and Higher last night. I was a little worried about it, to be honest with you. I give Sam about 5 hours, I think, to put that thing together. And I said, you better do it good, because the whole world's going to be watching when we do this one, you know. Amen. She done pretty good, I thought, you know. My one. Amen. I don't say this just because she's sitting here, but my wife is my favorite singer. I mean that sincerely. She's my favorite singer. I love to hear her sing. And they've affectionately termed her around the country, Little Vestal. And I said, I don't know if Vestal could hold a light to you, really, to be honest with you. My opinion, of course. But amen. We're sure glad. And I'd like to say to Brother Donnie and the church body, thank you for having us again. Always count this such a privilege and an honor to be numbered with you. And it's nice to be home. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to each one of you fathers here this morning, and to my dad back home, happy Father's Day to my dad. And I'd like to say, happy Father's Day.
Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. The stone had been rolled back. The Lord had gone away. The angel said, fear not, I know whom seek thee. He is risen. She heard him say, you don't know this risen Savior. I beg of you, don't wait too late to pray. Don't wait until his bride has been completed. Oh, don't wait until you hear him say it to you.
This is why.
'Cause we'll be gone. The stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at his Father's side. Oh, gone and over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated. Till you hear him say it's too late. 'Cause we'll be gone. The stone is rolled back. Gone. The tomb.
that's what we're talking
sin
about.
It's defeated.
Oh God, He lives forevermore.
Yes, we'll be gone and our death triumphant. Gone and sin is defeated. Gone
to live forevermore. Gone.
That's the truth if I've ever heard of it. Amen. Key of G. I'm just glad you're not a pauper anymore.
I was poor, so poor as a beggar, unwanted and surely unclean. I was despised by the folks that lived around me, who would cringe at the sound of my name.
Come on, say something.
And then one day I met a man called Jesus, and he offered my soul everything. Its pride and its pleasure, but not one thing did it have for me. My days were all spent feeling sorry, and my nights spent in deep misery. But then one day I was clothed in His glory, just like a tree budding leaves in the spring. And now my days, and they're all blessed, and my nights filled with rest, because I live in
the house of
the King.
I don't dwell in a shack near life's ghetto. I don't cater to what sin may bring. But instead, I'm surrounded by angels, and I live in the house of the King.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Oh, if that don't get your crank turned, your wood, your crank's broke, your wood's wet, all that. Oh, thank God for not being a pauper anymore. Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 17. How many is thankful to be a Christian today? You understanding guilt a little bit better? Making a little bit more sense what this little thing down inside of us has been all these years, ain't it? Now, we're going to talk about it again this morning, free from guilt. And I want to look today at a couple things on our harmatia, or our sins. Everyday sins, not blasphemy now, but everyday sins that we make as Christians. Now, since you Happy Valleyans understand this terminology, all you angels are excused this morning if you'd like to go. Only humans allowed in this service this morning. That's all. That's all we're going to permit. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. We want to talk about confessing our sins, the confession of these things, free from guilt. Romans 5, 17, for if by one man's offense, death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the dedicos of life, or justification in this life. Now look at the meaning of this word. This is where we draw our context for last night and today. It is the act of God declaring men free from guilt and acceptable unto Him. So if you'll notice now, Paul words this that we would have received condemnation. Now what is that? That's the judge swinging the gavel. No hope. You're over. You're done. No return. No coming back. It's done. It's over. Now that's what we was birthed into. We was born into condemnation. But Jesus came to free us from all condemnation. Oh, praise the Lord. That would make Baptists shout right there. If they had a revelation, that would make the Baptists shout, brother. My, my. Let's pray together, can we? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy, Your love. Thank You, Lord God. You saw us as beggars and all these wretched things that we were, but You made us kings and priests, Lord. How grateful we are to Your presence. We realize that in this life as human beings, we're nothing in this mortal flesh, this mortal life. We just have a status, maybe of some middle class or lower class. But how we thank You today that You've seen fit to make us the celebrities of heaven. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. Because we realize that the Queen of Heaven, she's not a subordinate. She's not a subject in the kingdom. She's not the baker. She's not the butler. She don't have to stand before the throne of grace, just kind of staring in space, afraid of death, afraid of condemnation. But this little bride is the Queen standing at the side of the great King. We thank You for Your word. Now we pray that You'd speak to us. Anoint me today, Father, that I might be a conduit, a vessel. Lord, that I could speak to the people by the way of the Holy Spirit, that their hearts would be receptive as well, that they would receive the things that we would have in the Word today as You would give it to us. We pray that You would just move and have Your great way. We take every spirit in here under our control for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that's contrary to the Word. May the Holy Spirit just get glory unto Himself today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you real good. Y'all are fired up and raring to get into this word, ain't you? I can feel it. I like that. As I told you, I like preaching to people that are free. Some of the worst experiences you'll ever have in your life is dealing with bondage. People that are bound, people that are in prison, that's a very horrible way to live, first of all. But we realize that the Lord Jesus wants us to be free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from chains, free from all these things that would bind us in this life. Now, being saved, we realize, is different than being born again. Being redeemed is different than being saved. A person that is saved, they're a person that is just forgiven for their past sins. A person that is redeemed, it is past, present, and future. The provision has been made for all of their walk with God. No matter what they were or what they're going to be, the blood has already atoned for them. So it's more than just being saved. This freedom from guilt is more than just being a person that is saved from their sins or being freed from just the guilt of sins, but it is being completely freed from being a sinner altogether. Now, we thank God for the mechanism of guilt, because once you feel that little something that you've done against the Lord or you've transgressed the word somehow, that little mechanism raises up in your heart and lets you know you've done that wrong. You said that wrong. You acted or you thought in a way that was displeasing to the Lord. And by that mechanism of guilt, you know to repent. You know to make it right. If that wasn't there, you would be a spiritual robot. There wouldn't be nothing to you. You wouldn't have any conscience. You wouldn't have any desire to do right, any desire to serve the Lord. You'd be up today, down tomorrow, but you wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter to you at all. A person with guilt, every moment they're wondering, am I pleasing the Lord? Am I doing the right thing? That mechanism of guilt is actually a blessing to you if you use it according to the law of how it works. If you don't use it according to the law, you're asking for a whole lot of trouble. You'll see this morning why that is. Now, I want you to notice that psychoanalytic writers emphasize that guilt will play a vital role in shaping people's values and their capacity to love. So, according to the psycho guys and the psychoanalysts and all these other fellas, they're saying that guilt actually shapes the way that we build relationships, the way we talk to people, the way we receive, you know, blessings and praise and those sort of things, the way we receive criticism. Guilt plays a role in how that is shaped. Now, you realize that if a person, as we looked at last night, is paranoid, no matter what you say to that individual, they'll always think there's an underlying cause in why you're saying it. If you praise them, oh brother, I like that shirt, or I like that tie, or some kind of a praise or a compliment, they'll always think there's some reason he's doing that. Now, I heard that guy, you know, he asked people for money in hard spots. I bet he's in a hard spot. I bet he's wanting some money out of me. That's why he's complimenting me, is because he's wanting to get a little something out of me. We realize what that is. That is the overabundance of guilt, or using the mechanism of guilt in the wrong way. Allowing it to dominate your life, take preeminence over your life, and dominate you to the spot to where that you cannot be free from this little mechanism of guilt. Now, I've got news for you. I do not intend on letting guilt rule my life, but rather I believe the bride, being the moon, she rules the tide, she rules the earth, gravity, and so forth. And Brother Bam said she is set there to rule the things on this earth. We do not let sin rule us, but we rule sin. And I intend, as a child of God, by the help of the Lord, to rule guilt in my life. Now, you're welcome to do whatever you want to, but I've got to do it exactly the way I feel the Lord would be pleased. And I do not want guilt becoming the main thing that drives every thought, every motive, every action, every objective, everything that I do and say in this life. I don't want it to be motivated by guilt. I don't want to be nice to people because I'm guilty. I don't want to work for somebody because I'm guilty. I don't want to go to church because I feel guilty. I don't want to read the Bible because of guilt. I want to be free, that if I can serve the Lord without this thing of guilt and feeling guilty, oh, God might send me to hell if I don't do it. What kind of life are you going to live if your entire life is based upon, I better do it or God will send me to hell? Jesus don't want you living that way. The Word ain't never asked us to live that way. And I believe that if we can understand guilt in the right way, I believe we can rid that type of stuff from our life altogether. Now, notice, it will shape your values. Now, remember, Brother Bam tells us that sinners don't sin. You remember that? He said, that's not what they are. He said, they're not sinners that sin will say. Because he said, Christians are the only ones that can sin because it's contrary to their nature. Praise the Lord. Notice, guilt in itself is initially a conflict within your soul. It is the conflict in your soul that you are a sinner. So you rid that by getting saved. The Holy Spirit fills you, He seals your soul, and all that guilt of being a sinner is gone. Then a few months, few weeks, few days, whatever it is, all of a sudden you'll do something wrong and you'll feel that little guilt, something raise up. Remember, that is not the guilt that you were a sinner. That's gone. That's gone altogether. If you are still battling the feeling that you are a sinner, maybe you ought to think about getting saved. Lord, y'all gonna get quiet as the Baptist this morning, ain't you? Well, it's the truth anyhow, whether you want to say amen or not. Real Christians do not battle the desire to, oh, I'm a sinner. Every day, if you are battling that, something is wrong with your experience.
The Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, no doubt. Now, I'm not saying you won't get discouraged and you won't wonder and you won't ponder, but the guilt that lays in your heart that you are condemned, that you need to get saved, will not be there for a child of God full of the Holy Ghost. No, sir, it will not. Now, you notice that this person then that makes scruples or does things wrong, harmatia, makes errors, that, you know, says things they ought not say, does things they ought not do. That's what the Christian does. Sinners could care less. It doesn't bother a sinner if he smokes, drinks, sits in church and chews gum, stares off at the kids. That don't bother him. But to a Christian, it's something against their walk with God. The slightest, most insignificant thing bothers a real believer. And do you realize this mechanism of guilt is what keeps you living right? It allows you to think, all right, I've done this and now I need to repent. I need to make this thing right. I need to stay right with the Lord. And all of a sudden you'll slip back into something and you'll feel it go, hot, hot. Oh my goodness. If it just shut its mouth, we'd probably do all kinds of things. Thank God it don't shut up. I said, thank God it don't shut up. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. Now I want you to notice what John says here. Excessive guilt, my friends, is a breeding ground for a negative confession. Yeah. Using guilt in the right way will keep you saved. Yeah. Well, glory to God. Now, watch now. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, I ain't going to get no hurry, so don't push me. I'm going to get this all in. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So if the truth is not in you and you're not truthful, then what are you? A liar. Well, there's no sin in the bride. If you're talking about the condition of her soul, you're right. But the sin that the bride has, harmatia, is everyday sins that she commits not meaning to do it. Minor things that she doesn't mean to do. Well, somebody going to preach with me, you're going to look at me. Now watch now. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So you mean to tell me John is preaching that a Christian can actually commit sin? Now why would he tell you to confess it and then God would forgive it if you don't have the ability to do it? Because he knows you've got the ability to do it. He knows there are going to be times in your life you're not going to do it right, not going to say it right. So God placed that mechanism of guilt down there to warn you. You've messed up, you've done it wrong, and you need to make it right. Thank God that is there. Oh my. Now notice he said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now what in the world does this have to do with making God a liar? Because if you say you have no sin, then you're also saying in your own way, you never needed a Savior. Jesus said you were a sinner and you needed a Savior, but if you say you have no sin, then you're saying God lied. Glory to God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Mm-mm. Now remember, Jesus Himself does not feel guilty, no. But when you violate the divine law, Jesus will send out a signal to your soul. And from your soul into your spirit, He will begin to trigger that system of guilt that lays in your on your conscience, and then imprint that feeling into your heart. That will take the reaction from your soul of the first stage, which is awareness. I done it wrong. I said it wrong. I thought that wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. Now from the soul, He communicates into the spirit, and from that spirit, it sets off that little trigger. And that little hound dog goes, woo, 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 woo. And you think, man, I messed that up. I better make that right. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And I don't know how you are, but I don't want to wait till later that day to try to remember it all. Praise the Lord. But whatever goes on, I want to be right with God right when it happens. Mm-mm. Lord Jesus. Now notice, if you can move from the first stage to the second stage, you can overcome that feeling of guilt. But herein lies the problem. We don't move from the first stage to the second stage very quickly. God will say, you done it wrong. And you'll say, uh-huh, I did. Same thing I did 5 minutes ago. Same thing I did 2 days ago. Then you'll start reasoning. Well, what's the point of even asking about it? What's the point of even praying about it? What's the point of even repenting? You know, I'll probably just turn around and do it all over again. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? And so the devil says, uh-huh, get them discouraged. Discourage them to where they don't feel like they can repent. Make them feel like it's pointless to ask God to do anything for them. Get them in that mode, in that framework, in that thought pattern. And once they get to thinking that it's absolutely useless to repent, you can keep that unconfessed sin in there and they'll live under a curse until they make it right. You realize that's the reason the devil does what he does. He doesn't want you to live blessed. He wants you to live cursed. Come on, somebody. And he knows if these things lay in your life, that you will live under a curse all the days of your life. Because God cannot bless you on top of unconfessed sin. Praise the Lord. Now, notice, I want you to notice this again, verse 8. Let's just break these verses down. Now, if you'll notice, he says, if we say we have no sin. All right, let's show him the word up there now. It means to miss the mark, to err, be mistaken, to wander from the path of uprightness and honor, to do or go wrong, to wander from the law of God, a violation of divine law in thought or in act. Is anybody preaching with me yet? Now what is this? This is not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. This is harmatia, or everyday sin. Now look at who John's addressing. John is addressing Christians already redeemed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's not addressing people that are sinners. He's not addressing the outside world. He's not addressing this fellow out there in that church and this guy over there that believes in idols. He is addressing present day message people. And he's telling them they've got harmatia. Y'all got that look on your face about like my Manchester people when I go to preaching this way. What's the matter? You human beings don't like to get pinched, look in that mirror and see what's all about, what you really are? You don't like that, do you? Because you want to be preaching. You're some kind of an angel that'll never do nothing wrong. But I got news for you. You're a human being to the day you're raptured out of here. You're always going to have ups, always going to have downs. You're always going to do things wrong. And we need the grace of God to keep us saved on a daily basis. Amen. That's right. Now, notice now, he says, it is an aggregate of sins committed either by a single person or by many. So what is this, Brother Danny? It is harmatia, or sins that the believer has. Now, are all of us going to have this? Yes. Brother Branham had it. Paul had it. Peter had it. I've got it. Your pastor's got it. Brother Daryl's got it. Amos has got it. Susie, Sally, Bob, Jim. I may not get your name, but I mean you anyways. Every one of us have got these things in our life. So the mechanism of guilt then is to make us aware. From our soul, it begins to trigger into that guilt system that you need to make that thing right. If you ignore that, you are living a life cursed. Notice in Adam Clark's commentary, he says, observe here, guilt to be forgiven must be confessed. Wow. Now what's so hard about that? Somebody tell me. What is so hard about us just simply confessing it? All you have to do is say you're sorry. He said, I'll turn around and do it again. Oh, so you're looking for that moment in your life when you're going to quit being human then. When are you going to overcome it? When are you going to overcome it? When you wave a magic wand over your experience and just decide today is the day of overcoming? When you confess these things and keep them right before the Lord, you are in effect overcoming that thing in your life. By not letting it get the advantage over you. If you let it lay there and fester, it empowers itself by the law that lays within it. God will have to send a curse on you to get you right with Him. So by allowing it to have its right away, it is an effect ruling your life, and you are not overcoming that way at all. But the very moment that you go to confessing it and making it right with God, you are putting it back under your feet where it belongs. Oh, praise the Lord. So you've got to confess it. Ooh, ooh. I know that means you might have to open up your mouth and say you're sorry. I know that's all, it's almost more miraculous to be able to open up the heavens of heavens and bring all the angels and set them in church this morning. Opening the Red Sea was an easy task compared to getting some people to open up their mouth and say they were wrong, say they were sorry. Too much pride, too hard-headed. But if you want to move from stage one to stage two, you got to open your mouth. Well, that's the principle you use when you eat. Why not do it this way? You got to open your mouth to eat. So why don't you open your mouth and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, my. He said, and pollution to be cleansed must also be confessed. Few are pardoned because they do not feel and confess their sins. Adoption, Brother Bam said, and that's where the church is failing today. Is on that walk. Do you know that even your own behavior can knock somebody else out of getting healed? Everybody hang on now. Your misbehavior of... So God looks at you not confessing your sins like you and I look at a little stomping brat that won't obey. Kid that won't listen to his mama, we say it's misbehaving. If you don't confess your sins, God looks at you the same way. Why do I have to come and preach so happy to you Happy Valleyans? Why? Now think, this is harmatia. This is the everyday sins in our life. You're never going to escape this. I don't say that you won't overcome it. I don't say you won't reach a spot to where you can put all of this under your feet. But this is the mechanism how you do it. This is God's provided way to keep guilt out of your life. Because if you don't repent, don't make it right, it'll just keep beating away at you, beating away at you, beating away at you. And the only way you can hush that voice is to follow God's law. And that is confess. Once you've been made aware, confess, and then He is faithful and just to forgive you. Oh, but I know what the problem is. We're waiting until we feel forgiven. Praise the Lord. Now, if you were dying with cancer, Brother Donnie, Brother Darrell, Brother Amos, some of these brothers, Brother Terry, whoever, laid their hands on you and prayed the prayer of faith over you, would you want to feel it then? Sure. But if you don't, what do you do? Point back to the Word and say, whether I feel it or whether I don't, I'm healed anyways. Right? So why is it we can do that when it comes to healing, but when it comes to our unconfessed sins, we won't take the Word that way either? We're waiting to feel forgiven, and the devil will beat the devil out of you almost. Amen. The devil will beat the devil out of you. He'll wear you out day and night, night and day, up and down, in and out. You'll have a great battle within yourself every day that you live on this earth simply because you just won't say you're sorry. So you didn't feel forgiven down there at that altar, did you? You didn't feel one thing. No, sir, I sure didn't. But what I like to tell the devil is the Bible said if I confess it, he'll forgive it, period. And brother, whether I feel it or whether I don't feel it, I'm taking God at His word. It's over. It's done. Amen. And by the grace of God, I'm moving forward anyhow. Praise the Lord. So the misbehavior of unconfessed sins, of you believers, can cause this church to bitterly fail. Everybody's looking for some pastor to backslide and run off the piano player or something like that. And nobody looks at the congregation for the reason. Congregations can be just as much responsible for destroying a church as a preacher can. Praise the Lord. Notice in the message we have found him, he says, now in the prayer line, to you back in the rooms, it's lined up. If you do not, with all your heart, believe, don't you come in this prayer line. If you have sin that you don't want called out publicly, you better confess it before coming into the prayer line, for it'll be made known. Now notice how simple this is. All you got to do is confess it. And not even Brother Branham could pull it from out underneath the blood. A gift that could tell you how many steps you had leading to your house, what you had for supper, the color of the robe the doctor had on when he was standing there in his doctor's jacket. A God that could go back into eternity and tell you what God was thinking when he created the angels of the heavens and the, amen, the elements of the earth. And yet once you simply confess your sin, not even that Hebrews 4:12 gift could go down into your life and pull out that sin that you confessed. Brother, you talk about forgiven. You are not just forgiven, but it is eliminated. It is so forgiven that it doesn't even exist anymore. Do you realize the prophet of God said that whenever God forgives you, he drops it into a tub of bleach? God believes in bleach. He just don't believe in starch. So get the starch out of your collar. Come on, somebody. Get the starch out of your collar. Don't live under that guilt. But say, Lord, I'm here this morning. I'm going to put those sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I'm going to take that sin and I'm going to baptize it. I'm going to dunk it. I'm going to drown it in the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, it'll never be remembered against me anymore. All you have to do is say you're sorry. Brother Ben, I've said it over and over and over. What do? Keep saying it over and over and over again. Eventually, God will strengthen you to overcome that thing altogether. Oh. God and his people, Brother Ben says, the gift declares all diseases. It rebukes sin, calls the secrets of the people's hearts. Remember, any person come in the prayer line, if you come with unconfessed sin, remember to be told from this platform, no matter how vulgar and bad it is. So the gift would do what? Catch a vibration. Brother Bam would take him by the hand. He'd say, now sister, you see that vibration going off in that hand right there? He said, that's cancer. See them streaks running down through there and how it turned purple on this side? So the gift was catching the vibration coming from that disease. I'll show you in just a moment what psychologists and doctors have said, that in the physiological man, the human body, the tangible of the elements of your body, that there's a vibration that is set off in your soul and spirit to the physical man by guilt. So when guilt is laying there and just laying there and laying there, it sets off a vibration. And the gifts of God will catch it. And the gift of God will declare it. And the gift of God will tell it no matter how bad it is right here from this platform. That's why sometimes when you're sitting there underneath these gifts and you're sitting there underneath the influence of that word, you wonder who's been talking to Brother Donnie. Or who Brother Donnie's been talking to. Don't you realize? Don't be a numbskull. That's the gift catching that in your life. That was a big theological word, numbskull, but that's right. That's what we are. Come on, let's admit it. Sometimes we are the dumbest people on the face of the planet. We see God heal cancer and we see the promises of the Holy Spirit come to pass over and over and over again. Then sit in church and God puts the microscope on you and you start guessing at who talked to who. Praise the Lord. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. That's exactly right. The gift will catch the vibration. Have you ever wondered, the Bible talks about it, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. God sometimes don't catch your thoughts. Sometimes he catches your intention. Remember when Brother Bram was going to go out there and do the things that he'd done, become a trapper and all this. The Holy Spirit shows him a vision. He's a bum standing in a garbage dump. Think of it. One time I was the leader of the Bride of Christ. It wasn't that Brother Bram had done anything, but his intention was to walk off and leave the gospel. So God was dealing with his intention. Have you ever thought? That's why that gift, friends, will sometimes veer a man off into this direction. And there may be nobody in the church actually doing anything, but perhaps their intention is to do something. And the gift catches that and declares it on the platform. Well, well. Preach to us, Jesus. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Now this is stage 2. Stage 1, God lets you know you've done it. Stage 2, confess it. Stage 3, he is faithful and just to forgive it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That happens over and 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 over. Did I say over and over again? Come on, somebody. Come on this morning, church. You know it's right. You know it's right over and over and over again. But thank God my Jesus has a big old tub of bleach for the bride. Hey man, he ain't got just a thimble, but he's got a great big tub of bleach. And let me tell you, brother, you may think you've gone too far. Sister dear, you might be the same thing. But you never went too far that the blood of Jesus Christ can't cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You've just got to confess it. You've got to make it right. You've got to confess it and make it right. And then he can go to working with that law. Look at this word, cleanse. To free from guilt of sin. So you say, well, I don't know. I asked God to forgive me, but I still kind of feel guilty about it. Is that you feeling guilty? Or is that the mechanism of guilt feeling guilty? There is a difference, you know. Because the devil will come by and start telling you after you repented. He didn't hear that. He don't forgive you, you know. You know, you've done that so many times, God's just getting tired of forgiving you. I like what Brother Bram told Perry Green one time. Perry, every time you confess it, it's as though in the eyes of God you've done it the first time. Oh, you say that's not on tape? Use your common sense then. If God forgives it as though it never happened, and you confess it, and it goes into the sea of God's forgetfulness, somebody tell me how God could keep a library of your sins. How could he keep a compendium, Brother Ed, of the things that you've done wrong and the things that you've said and acted? How could he keep a library when the only book he's got is one with your name on it? Amen. From the foundation of the world, where the Lamb of God wrote your name in his very own blood. As a matter of fact, the prophet of God said his name's on that book too. That's why it's the Lamb's book. And if you can erase the blood of Christ, you can take my name out of that book. As that's why the devil can't get to you. Because to get to you, he'd have to cross the bloodline. I wish somebody helped me preach this morning. Come on, somebody. Oh, you say, I'm coming on good. Not nearly like you need to be. Brother, this ought to do something for you. You ought to be swinging from them chandeliers up there. Amen. To know that the power of the living Holy Ghost is not just forgiving you of being a sinner, but every day of your life, he's still forgiving you. He's still cleansing you, still making you right, still giving you the Holy Ghost. I didn't get the Holy Ghost just once. I've got it over and over and over again since I got it. You say, oh, that's foolish. Stick around. I'll get it again and again and again and again. Yeah, that's good, Brother Ben. That's good. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's good. You know, of course, you're talking about somebody else. Not me, because you don't know how far I've gone, and you don't know what kind of person I am. No, you're right, I don't. But Jesus' word ain't tailored for certain people. It's custom fit for everybody. Every nature, every attribute, every way of talking, every way of walking, come on somebody, every way of thinking. Glory to God, hallelujah. This word is custom fit for every individual in this world. Oh, glory to God. Give me a few minutes. I'll really get to preaching in a minute. Oh, hallelujah. Notice that's your next stage, is to be free by confessing it. Hebrews 10, 1, 2. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never those sacrifices which they offered year by year make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because of the worshiper once purged. How many times do you have to be purged? You do not need multiple trips to the altar to get right with God. All you have to do is dip that soul of yours in the blood. All you got to do is offer that soul to the hands of Him who holds that blood. And He'll take the rest from there. Brother, all you have to do is just make that first little step. Jesus will do the rest if you'll make the step. But that's the problem. Some of you won't get out of the boat. You're like the rest of them disciples out there criticizing the guy because he's trying to walk. And you see him sink a little bit, get discouraged a little bit. Oh, what's the matter with you, you coward? Get out of the boat and see what you can do about it. Well, I just like to be safe. No, you like to be lazy. But a real son and daughter of God, they're not going to sit back on a stool to do nothing if they got to make mistakes every day of their life. And they're up and down and down and up. They get up every morning saying, Lord, Your mercy's brand new every day. They don't stop. They don't give in. They don't shut up. They just keep pressing. Only a coward would sit back because they're afraid to make a mistake. I know you don't like that, but I'll be gone today, so don't worry about it. Look at this word, purged. To cleanse of filth, impurity, trees and vines from useless shoots. Metaphorically, from guilt. So you planted you a garden, have you? And that guilt garden is growing into beautiful flowers. Stinkweed and lemon trees and persimmon trees. And well, we know what the fruit of it is because we can tell by the look on your face. How in the world can you have the joy of the Holy Ghost and look like somebody smacked you in the face with a wood board? I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Yes, and we're praying that the rest of you get set free too. Come on, somebody. Listen, when God does the job, He don't save half of you. He don't save a quarter of you. But Jesus wants to save all of you. Not just the part you think He needs to save. He wants to save everything. And I'm so happy I can't stand it. You're right about that. We can't stand it either. So you let the thing grow. You let it grow. You let it grow. It gets stronger. Grows roots. Gets bigger, 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 bigger. Starts putting forth fruit. Then Brother Louis will say, somebody give Him a praise. And you'll say, I did last week. Ooh. Ooh. Hit a nerve, did I? Ooh, y'all shouldn't have told on yourself like that. I got you now. I got you now. Oh, yeah. You say, I'm not praising every time I go to church. That man wants me to clap and worship. You're wrong. It ain't that man that wants you to do it. It's that man up there. It's the Lord Jesus wants you to raise your hands and clap your hands and worship and give God your voice and your praise. Come on, just give Him some glory right now. Say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for redeeming me. Thank You for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank You for freeing me from guilt. But now you got this great big old tree growing up in your garden. And you go out every morning. I remember when you was just a little bitty fella. Look at you now, boy, you've really grown. I've probably gone too far to fix it. No, it just means that a different tool is required for a different job. Amen.
where you could have taken your fingers and plucked it out from the ground. Now you need Holy Ghost chainsaws. Hey, brother, it don't mean that it ain't coming out. Know what I'm saying? It don't mean it ain't getting moved. Oh, yeah, that baby doll's coming out of there. But it may take a little while. You may have to come Wednesday and he'll, you'll hear him walk out of the office. Oh, dear God. He's going to look right at me when he preaches this. And he'll cut down and cut down and cut down and cut down. And you'll come back Saturday night. They thank God it's down to a stump. And out'll come Brother Darrell with a stump grinder. And you'll think, thank God that's over with. And it ain't done yet, because then somebody will come along as a cleanup crew. And they got to get there and gather up all the mess, all the ashes, everything that the residue of what you've done and what you left undone. But Brother Ben, I learned so much. I imagine you did. Notice in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Now, what does this mean? This means voluntarily, willingly, of one's own accord to sin willfully, as opposed to sins committed inconsiderately and from ignorance or from weakness. So some of the sins we commit, they're from ignorance. They're from not being considerate to the Holy Spirit or to our brother or to our sister. And there are things that we have simply done because we got weak. I know some of you mighty men in here, you ain't never gotten weak and cried, have you? Some of you tough guys, some of you southern boys with your boots on and your belt buckles, and you too cool, you too cool, man. You too hard. You're a bull rider and a cowboy. I don't cry, at least where somebody can't see you, you big baby. But you get just as weak as everybody else does. Come on, somebody. And friends, what am I trying to say? I'm saying we need the grace of God every day of our life. Now notice this in the ministry explained. Brother Bam says, when you come to the altar, you confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. Now how hard is that? You just say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But you say, that seems too simple. I know, because all of us, really in our own way of looking things, we would rather be Catholics. Scrape our knees, beat ourselves a cat of nine tails. As if Jesus don't know that you live in some disgusting, sinful pest house already. As if God don't know what your genes were way better than you ever know what your genes are. As if God don't know there's generations of sin that torments you to this day. That's what makes this bride such a miracle, brother. In other ages, they didn't have as much time and aggregate wasn't built up like it is today. But the bride that overcomes in this last day, she's not going to overcome just a few generations. She's going to overcome 6,000 years of, amen, of sins passed down from the great, 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 great grandfathers. I'm not just whipping my sin, but I'm whipping every sin that was handed down to me. No wonder they'll come up and say, you're from Laodicea? Let me shake your hand. Oh, notice he says, ask God to forgive you, and then in your heart, now get it? In your heart, you have to believe that he has forgiven you. Is that right? You have to believe that. Pardon. A pardon from God is a release from guilt. Praise the Lamb of God. Not the turning away by some psychological doctrine of some sort that might in some way give you a little feeling that you've done what's right. Lord, I wouldn't want to base my soul on that. Huh? But it's a release from your guilt. By the power of Calvary. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glad day when my sins were washed away. He said, the Bible said, I believe, in Romans 5, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus.
Who's got your Bible in here? Turn, Romans 8, or 5, verse 1. And see if in Romans 5, 1, let's just see if that scripture's there. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. Do you see there's therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus? Come on, say it out. Yes or no? No. You mean Brother Branham made a harmatia? Mm. Does that mean he's a false prophet? No, it means he's a man. Woo, glory to God. This is where the church gets quiet right here. Now, this is not some sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. This is harmatia. He just simply quoted it wrong. It ain't Romans 5:1, it's Romans 8. 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation. Now, can you say that you've never done this right here? So does that make you a false bride? Really? Interesting. So you can have mistakes and yet still be bride. You can make mistakes and still be a prophet. You can make mistakes and still be the seventh angel. Praise the Lord. Now, friends, when I read this, I don't do this to shame Brother Branham, but I realize that he was following the same path that I'm following. And if God could see this in his life, Brother Amos, and have grace for him, then there's hope for me. There's hope for you. But this ain't blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. What is this, Brother Jim? Harmatia. He missed the mark. Erred. Praise the... Oh. Notice now, all things, Brother Man said, there's one more thing I'd like to speak of here in our pardon. And that's after we receive our pardon, we receive purity with that pardon. Now, if you're just making out like you got pardon, you haven't got purity. Now, you say, can you prove that, Brother Branham? Mark this down. Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. The worshiper once purged has a more conscience of sin. Now, I won't ask you to turn because we just got through reading that scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Well, Lord, some of y'all don't know what to say. Amen. Oh, me. You know, I think I'm hearing some of you praying. I wish Brother Donnie, hurry up, get back. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up, Brother Donnie. Get back here, Pastor. Come on, get back here. Harmatia. Harmatia. He misquoted. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Are you going to be led to hell because the man misquoted the scripture? You mean to tell me you ain't got enough brains to open the Bible and find out where he was talking about yourself? Praise the Lord. Oh my. He said, now notice, if you're really pardoned, the very guilt, the very desire has left you. It's all gone. Praise the Lord. Purity goes with genuine pardon. So if we claim pardon and still not pure, how can we claim pardon? Well, I'm predestinated. I can live any way I want to. I always live the way I want to. I live the way that my conscience dictates. I can serve God the best of my ability. I live every day like I want to live. Praise the Lord. Now notice now, the purity then goes with the pardon. So once the pardon has been set into your soul, and how do you get it? You must receive it as your pardon. But if you sit around saying, oh, I don't know. God could probably forgive that one over there, but I don't know if he can forgive me. And what makes you any different than John, Sally, or Susie, or any of the rest of them? What makes you any different? Absolutely nothing. Same genes. You're a human being. You got eyeballs. You got arms, feelings. Same type of thing. Christ's blood died for you and shed for you rather. And Christ died for you just like he died for everybody else. You are no different in the eyes of God. But that's what the devil would like to make you feel. Make you feel like you're a special case. Because he knows if you're dumb enough to swallow that, you'll never get free from this right here. Y'all looking at me like you ain't never heard hard preaching before in your life. Come on. Now you swallow that down. I must be different. Somehow I must be special. You're not. It's the devil trying to make you feel that way. So you won't feel like you have the same ability to get right as everybody else does. Oh, preach on, Brother Ben. I think I will. Amen to God. Amen to the Lord Jesus. You're not special. You're like everybody else. Brother Bam said, you watch somebody that's craving attention all the time, that person is spiritually sick anyhow. Moving on. Notice he said it's a release from guilt. Not by joining church or taking up some creed, but a release from your guilt by the power of Calvary. Something has released you. There's no more guilt. Moving back down to all things again. He says, if you really have pardoned, the very guilt desires left you, it's all gone. Purity goes with that pardoning. Notice cleansing. Cleansing you from what? Cleansing you from all of your connection of formal, dead, traditional works. Cleansing us from dead tradition. So tradition doesn't have to be Methodist tradition, Baptist tradition, Pentecostal tradition. It could be mama's tradition. Or daddy's tradition. Or some tradition you've invented in yourself. Friend, we create our own doctrines all the time. We constantly create our own little spheres of influence. If God speaks to us, we're the only ones God has spoke to. If God blesses us, we're the only ones that God has blessed like that. Woo, I don't know what nerve I'm hitting, but I'm hitting her. Oh. Notice now, he says, how can you remain in dead tradition when you're pure from it? He said, now you read that in Hebrews 9:11. See, that's right. It cleanses us from the filth of dead formal works when we have been pardoned by the blood of Jesus. Because it's the sanctifying power that goes with the pardoning, and we're cleansed from all of our dead works. Now, let's look at the physiological, psychological effects again of guilt. Let me read just a little bit of what we picked up last night, and then we'll move into some deeper things. Notice the psychological effects can include something bad, such as feeling worthless or inferior. These two complexes dominate many of our lives. We sit in church and we feel worthless and we feel inferior. And why should you, whenever you are the celebrity of heaven? You are not a baker. You are not a butler. You're not a subordinate. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, you might want to approach the throne of God like the baker. Oh, God, please don't kill me. Oh, Jesus, please don't destroy me. Don't send me to hell. Don't. But that's not the way the queen approaches him. The butler might approach him with his head bowed and just scared for his life. But the queen sits right there on his side saying, what do you want to eat today? That's why in Revelation, when the heavens and the earth flee from the face of him that sits on that throne, there's one little sweetheart that ain't running. Amen, amen. There's one member of that group up there that ain't running nowhere. Because she's not afraid of her husband. She's sitting right there in the throne with him. Amen, Brother Jerry. Amen. She's sitting right there in the throne room right next to the Lord Jesus himself. Notice. Oh, listen. It says a person may suffer physiological effects such as insomnia, physical pain, sleep disturbances, lack of appetite, overeating, worsening of disease states, such as hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, memory loss, short attention span. I think I figured something out. That's why people are in such a hurry in church. They're so guilty. Ooh, when you go to preaching to them and you start hitting that little trigger mechanism in there, they want to hurry up and get out of here. Come on, quit it. Just shut down. Just shut down. I'm done. No, set still. There's more that's got to come in the future. Amen. Just sit still a little while. Brother Ben said, if I can ever get this bride to hold still, I'll dress her in that promised word. But you've got a short attention span, because the minute he gets too close to home, you start. It's Some people come to church sitting like this, and halfway through the service, they're done slouched way on down. Short attention span. Mood swings. They love you at the beginning and hate you at the end. Irritability. The same symptoms as depression. Your body actually becomes weaker or stronger depending on your mental state. Shame holds the lowest vibration, followed by guilt, apathy, grief, fear, anxiety, craving, anger, and hate. So all of these levels of vibration. Shame holding the lowest, guilt being right above. The lowest vibrations in a human cell is shame and then guilt. So what happens when you come to church and a gift of God catches that vibration? He starts preaching right in your lap. He looks right at you when he preaches that. And you say, I don't like it. You know why? Because you've built you a whole garden full of this stuff. And it seems like it's too much work to undo what you've done up. Some of the greatest miracles we're ever going to have is when people learn to get their gardens cleaned out. Notice, oh my, conversely, trust, optimism, willingness, acceptance, forgiveness, understanding, love, reverence, joy, serenity, enlightenment. They strengthen you. Strengthen you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. But you can't have joy unless you, if you ain't got freedom from guilt. You can't have joy. Brother Bam, I've got joy. Brother Bam taught us, be still and know I'm God. The Word. I worship in spirit and in truth. Wonder what truth some people worship by. I was reading just this morning in Psalm 47. David says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. What truth do some people worship by? This is truth. Clap your hands and shout. Brother Bam said, slobber. He come out of that upper room. He said, they come out and they were singing, jumping, and dancing. Which one of y'all going to get started? But you know why you ain't got that? Because you're sitting there with that guilty heart. And it's vibrating. The Holy Spirit will reach down inside of your subconscious and start pulling out some wrong and you'll bury it. And that's why you get stuck at stage one. When all you have to do is step over to stage two. Notice he says your heart emits a much stronger electromagnetic force field than your brain. So your brain entrains with your heart and matches its biological rhythm. So it all starts synchronizing. That means if you feel love, appreciation, gratitude in your heart, your brain will entrain with that and enter a coherent pattern. If your heart feels anger, frustration, or fear, your brain will entrain with that and go into an incoherent pattern. Recent medical studies prove that depression is a greater cause of heart disease than smoking. Researchers found that in depressed people, the blood platelets become more sticky, clogging the arteries and the veins. Guilt can make someone over-responsible. They will think life has to be perfect and will do everything to try to please everyone. Some preachers have guilty consciences. They feel bad about this person getting mad at them, and this person. And so they spend their entire ministry trying to please everybody.
Right.
Brother, what you need to do is learn to please one. Throw the axe, swing the axe, pitch the axe, but let the chips fall where they may. Because brother, I've got to line up to this word the same as you got to line up to it. And it is not my job as a preacher to be able to sit here and work with your little feelings and all your little ways and make excuses for you between you and God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Oh. Notice, guilt is pain. The good news is guilt is pain. That may not seem like good news.
Sure doesn't.
Unless you understand that pain isn't always our enemy. It is a God-given early warning system that can be our best friend. Dr. Paul Brand co-authored a book entitled Pain, the Gift Nobody Wants. Dr. Brand spent many years working with leprosy patients in the United States around the world. He explains that one of the worst effects of the disease is that patients lose their ability to feel pain. As a result, they frequently injure their hands and their feet without even knowing it. So you hush this thing of guilt. Hush, hush. You rock it to sleep. Hush, little baby, don't make a word. And it gets quieter and quieter and quieter. And that subconscious pulls back. And you start injuring your walk with God, injuring people around you, injuring the Holy Spirit, injuring your prayer life, injuring your walk with God, coming to the house of God, reading your Bible, on and on and on. Do you know what you've done? You've allowed leprosy to set into your subconscious. Come on, somebody. You've allowed that feeling that once that told you you were doing wrong, you've allowed it to get so numb that you can't feel it anymore. Pain is a protector. He says it can alert us to physical problems that could grow more serious if they're not addressed. Pain is a teacher. You do it wrong, God tells you you've done it wrong, you repent, you learn from that which you've done. You learn from it. Once we touch something hot, we learn very quickly not to touch it again. But some people seem like they just love that touching part. It's hot and that intrigues them. Ooh, 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 ooh. You about burn all the nerve endings off on your fingers because you can't keep your hands in the right places. Well, praise the Lord. Right. Notice, oh my, there is such a thing as false guilt. Many people have been tormented by remorse or traumatic events in their past over which they had no control, such as abuse or abandonment. Even though victims deserve compassion and not condemnation, we sometimes will carry those burdens for a lifetime. That's according to him. But according to him, we have a place we can cast our cares. Glory to God. In other words, you don't have to carry all of this stuff that you try to carry on you. You don't have to overload yourself with all of this sense of responsibility. Oh, if you miss prayer, you just feel like such a dog. And oh, he's probably going to send me to hell. And do you not think that the Lord Jesus understands that there are times in our life that we just don't do it like we want to do it? Do we think he's a dictator standing there with a rod of iron waiting for you to mess up so he can throw you in hell? If you do, you got the wrong idea. Brother Branham describes it to us this way, that Jesus looks at us like a child trying to walk. And he said, when we make little wobbles and scruples and get things wrong, he said, he's like daddy. Thank you, Father's Day. Hallelujah. He said, he reaches down and gets us by the hand. And he said, he holds us as we walk on. Listen, it's not that you're condemned. It's not that you're on your way to hell. You just simply stumbled because your feet ain't strong enough to walk yet. Can I go on a bit? Thank you. An identified Christ, Brother Bam says, now tonight we're going to baptize just in a few minutes people here in the room. He said, if there's any desire in your heart that you want any great worldly ambitions, repent of them right now. Tell God you're sorry that you wanted to be some great worldly person. Say, Lord, my complete ambition is to be like Jesus. Come meekly, come humbly. Then when you put your hands on his head and by faith confess your sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry I done it. Huh. Where's the cat of nine tails? Where's the Via Della Rosa? But you is it that easy? Yes. Yes. But we beat ourselves. Beat ourselves into oblivion. Oh, I had a wrong thought. Oh. The devil's going to get me now. Jesus is going to get me. I said something I ought not have said. Oh, I'm a miserable thing. I'm a miserable thing. And the devil says, that's right. That's right, you are. And it's worse, and it ain't never going to get better. And you start sympathizing with that old thing, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. The devil looks at me and says, you ain't saved. I like to say to him, how do you know what saved looks like? Huh? He says, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. I said, tell me how you know what the Holy Ghost looks like. He says, you ain't nothing but a serpent seed. I said, takes one to know one. But you'll allow that thing and it'll start working on you, working on you, working on you, and you'll open up your mouth and you'll swallow it down and swallow it down and swallow it down. And all you had to do was walk over there and pick that thing up by your fingers and say, Lord, I'm sorry I done that. Why do we go the chainsaw route when we could go this route right here? Why do we choose the other? Because we feel like there's something we've got to do about it. Ooh. Then when you put your hands upon his head and by faith confess your sins, say, Lord, I'm sorry I've done it. Then what will happen? I had a spell when I read this quote. God will transfer all your guilt over on him. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. And take his innocence. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Once you say you're sorry, he takes your guilt and puts it on himself, and then he transfers his innocence back to you. Oh, hallelujah. You stand justified in the presence of God because you believed, not felt, but believed on Jesus Christ, his Son. What a plan of salvation, he says. Oh my, then you share in his glory. Then you share in his glory. The goodness of God will come into your heart. The power of his resurrection will make you a new person. It'll satisfy every longing. Would you rather have that or diabetes? Would you rather have that or high blood pressure? It's up to you. You can either live the lowest quality of life that could possibly offer to you, afforded to you, or you can live the highest quality of life that God wants for you. It's up to you. Let me give you an example, a real simple example. Satan comes up to heaven, gets there before God and says, now God, I've got a compendium of their sins. I want to tell you, I watched this, that, the other, whatever it might be. He's got a book about as thick as this Bible. He walks up there before God and says, let me show you what Chuck did. You see that right there? Your word says you got to condemn him. Your word says he ain't nothing. God says, you and I have been through this over and over again. I thought you would learn by now. And God looks over and speaks into the speakers in heaven, the announcement, the PA address system in heaven, and says, will the angelic librarian please go get Chuck's book? It's in my great file under the Laodicean Church H. And so God, the angel gets Brother Chuck's book or John's book or whoever it might be, some brother, some sister, and pulls their book over. And God goes to open up their book and says, you know, Satan, I've been comparing these books here. And somehow or another, your compendium looks a whole lot different than mine. Because in your book, you said he was a sinner. I said he was a part of me. In your book, you said he was a liar. I said he's the part of the truth of the last day. In your book, you said he was a devil. I said he was my son. In your book, you said death would get victory. My book says he'll conquer death himself. Your book says that he's a liar, that he's this, that he's the other. But my book speaks a whole lot different than your book. And by the way, you know all them sins that you got on his book? My blood is bigger than your book and your whole library of books. Amen. And Jesus just reaches over and says, excuse me, and takes it and throws it back behind him and goes in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And the devil goes right back down into hell saying, I hate it when he does that. Amen. Do you understand? This is the reason why Satan cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Because if you are truly his child and you try to get away with this, you got a whipping coming your way. Jesus is not going to let you get away with allowing that garden to build up and build up and build up. Eventually, somewhere the Lord is going to have to deal with your heart. And that's why sometimes God sends you chainsaw services.
Because you got all this in your heart. And all this is compiled up inside of you. And you got all this. And when you come to church, no wonder sometimes it takes a good 4-hour sermon to get people right with God. No wonder it takes them coming to church for 30 years sometimes to get them straightened out. Not because that they couldn't have been straightened out in the beginning, but because they're so stinking hard-headed. That they sit there and they want to do it their way. They want to handle it their way. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. And they think that they know better than God. And that they can handle it better than God. And instead of working with this law and confessing your sins, once that little trigger speaks from your soul and you say, I'm sorry, Lord, and you confess your sin, and then He's faithful and just to forgive you, and then He cleanses you from all righteousness, you hold on to that thing. There's no use me repenting. And God has to do some very, very drastic things to get us right. We don't have to live that way. Come on, Happy Valley. I said, we do not have to live that way. You may think you have to live that way, but you do not have to live that way. You can live above this thing of guilt. Aren't you glad you can? Praise the Lord. Come on, bro. Come on. Let's stand. I preached 1 hour and 11 minutes for the clock watchers. Praise the Lord. You just imagine some of these things that I've been studying on. I didn't even touch the surface, to be honest with you. But there's real guilt, neurotic guilt, perceived guilt, feeling responsible for something you didn't do. There is retrospective guilt, causes you to relive the belief you could have prevented previous events. Introspective, the awareness of our own actions and shortnesses. And holding on to every bit of that causes fibromyalgia, paranoia, diabetes, high blood pressure, the same symptoms as depression. It'll give you a heart attack. It'll take the joy out of your life. You'll sit in the house of God when everybody's rejoicing and you'll get upset and depressed and hurt in your heart that you can't be like the rest of them. And you can't figure out why. But if you'll work according to God's law and forgive and confess and let Jesus do the work in your heart He wants to do, all of that would wash away. Quit waiting to feel like you've been forgiven. Just simply ask Him and take Him at His word. I say, Lord, I didn't mean to do it. I got trapped. It's this old stupid nature of mine. You know, I found a way around that red light down yonder. I found another route up through here. You know, I told you, that's the longest red light in the United States of America. And I hate sitting at a red light. I hate it. I'm one of them guys that go from one light to another as quick as I can get there. I hate sitting at a red light. I just can't stand it. It's just something about it just grates on my nerves. I love New York City when I was preaching Brother Robert out there. I mean, you know, them lights were like boom, 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 boom. I said, my kind of town. They were just moving, I mean flying. You know what I'm talking about? I just love that. But I hate sitting at a red light. So rather than let that get the best of me, I come up the back way. Amen. You say, that's ridiculous. No, it's keeping these little old natures of ours under our feet. Praise the Lord. But you'll allow yourself to just jump into one thing, into another, into another, into another, into another, 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 another. And you just go right back in them same old messes. You get discouraged because, I'm sorry, Lord. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. And you just over, it's a repetitive pattern over and over. Now, granted, there are situations we cannot avoid. You might live with a husband or a sinner wife or some kind of a situation, and it's there in your face every single day of your life. But that doesn't mean you have to let that get the best of you. You can stand right there on the grace of God and the revelation of this hour, knowing that these things are true, and say, Lord Jesus, I heard your word this weekend that said, if I feel that mechanism of guilt, I can repent, you'll forgive me, and I can move forward. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I trust if you'll take this into your heart, what I preach you this weekend,
Many of you sitting here, standing here this morning, you'll come into service Wednesday night, and some of you that ain't raised your hands in years, you'll start doing this. We'll take it. We'll take it. If that's what you want to give, we'll take it. Then next Saturday, you'll do this. And then as you move forward, you'll start doing this. You know why you're getting free? Because all them old vines you had growing up in your garden ain't got your arms all bound up. The Holy Spirit's liberating all that in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord's just taking that chainsaw, that cutting of His Word, coming and going, and just slicing away all them old devils that's got you bound. Oh, Brother Ben, I know your type. You're just one of them guys that want us to come to church and jump and shout. You're right. You're right. Because I realize that if you've got the right kind of freedom, you'll show it. Remember, the prophet of God told us that the way that Satan would come into the church and defile it, what he said, make it lukewarm, formal, thus making it powerless. God hates formality. God hates for people to sit there formal with their hands folded in the power position and sitting there and they're intelligently deducing your deductions as they analytically deduce your deductions. And if you quote 1964 and it was 1958, they will spend the rest of the service trying to figure out how did you misquote that. Let me save you the time. I messed up. I misquoted it. That's what I did. Huh? And then as you sit in the house of God and you let this thing just operate the way that it needs to, when you hear Him singing, I bless your name in prisoner's chains, bleeding stripes. Then all of a sudden something can just raise up. You're free. See, nothing in there. You're free. And then you can just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That I believe that one reason why we should enter into worship is because the prophet taught us the children of God are absorbents for the Spirit of God. So when you come into the house of God, as you enter into worship, you are absorbing that Holy Spirit as He falls down on you. You're not a repellent, you're an absorbent. And let's face facts, this last day church is supposed to be a Pentecostal church. Oh, but Brother Ben, I'm afraid I'll get fanatical. How in the world, with all the truth that we've got laying before us, with preachers on every street corner, how could you ever get fanatical? If you do, it'd be your own fault. You'd be stepping over all sorts of truth to become a fanatic. Come on now. I don't know, Brother Ben. I'm just a quiet person. No, you're not. You're full of guilt. You hide behind that old cloak, that lie you tell, to keep from exposing yourself because you think if somebody knew who you really were, that you'd be deceiving, devilish, ornery, sorry, good for nothing. The truth of the matter is if you exposed yourself before the Lord and you did it in an honest way, you'd find out you're just like the rest of us. And even when they clap, you hide. Because you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's up to you. What do you want to do with this? You want to take this and receive it in your heart as being from the Lord? You want to be free? You want to be free? Then all you have to do is receive it as your freedom. Bow your heads with me, please. I wonder in this building this morning, you saints that are standing here that believe that this has been for you, I want you to raise your hand to the Lord and say, God, I receive my pardon this morning. My. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Just keep your hands up now. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I stretch my hands out across this audience. Oh God. And to my brothers up here on the platform. And I ask living God that the Holy Spirit would fall on each one of them right now. May the presence of the living Jesus that we've felt in this service
May you have your right of way in each of these hearts. God, may the word that's been preached, the things that has been said, may the power of the Almighty fall upon these believers right now. Satan, you have been exposed by the word of God. You liar. I adjure you as God's servant. Take your hands off of these people. Every one of them that will receive it in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you this morning. Take your freedom. Rise up and move on. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You feel His presence? You feel Him moving? Come on, get your hands up now. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. That's right. That's it. That's the way. Get right into that. Say, Lord, it's here. I'm here. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just accept your freedom now, friend. It's yours. It don't have to be no great big drawn out long thing. You just receive it. Amen. You just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm believing. I'm confessing. I'm having confidence. I'm moving ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I raise my hands today. I receive the pardon today, Lord Jesus. I receive it into my soul. I receive it into my spirit. Hallelujah. I receive this blessed presence, oh God, today. I absorb Thy Holy Spirit. Oh God, go down into the depths of our soul and receive our praise today, Lord Jesus. We love You. We thank You. We adore You. We praise You. We reverence You. We give You glory. We give You praise in the house of God. Our chains are gone. Our sins are gone. We receive. We believe. It's in the sea of Your forgiveness. We thank You. We adjure the devil. We move forward in Jesus' name. We move forward in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. We believe with all of our heart You are present, and we receive the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit that's in the room today. Amen. Grant it, Lord, for every single one of us in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Wow, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Come on, Lord Jesus. Come on, Father, we receive You. Come on into our midst, Lord. Amen, amen. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Ooh, thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. My, how we love You, Lord God. Oh, don't you just feel His presence in the building today? Oh, you know He's here. You just sense Him. You just know He's right here in this building, right here with us, right now. Just think of that. Almighty God, our healer, our deliverer, our liberator is right here in this building right now. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. In prisoner's chains, Brother Harry. Amen. Oh my, let's just sing together now.
In prisoner's chain with bleeding stride, all inside the spring that if you should find.
That second song y'all sang, the one Brother Lewis sang this afternoon, the second one, that faster one, I don't know the name of it. Do you know him, Homer? Where'd you go, Louis? What was that one you sang, second one? That's it. Yeah, up ahead. Yeah, I guess that's the name of it. That's what we need to do, move up ahead. Do you agree with me? I wonder tonight, testify. The old fashioned is popcorn testimony. Somebody just say, I'm moving ahead. Come on. Come on, how many's moving ahead? Come on, testify. Don't just tell us up here, but tell the devil in hell, tell your Lord Jesus, tell yourself, tell everybody around you, I am moving up ahead. I'm not living a life full of guilt. I'm moving ahead. Amen and amen.
I know what lies ahead.
Up ahead.
Amen and rest for your weary soul. Up ahead.
Ahead. There's peace and contentment. Everybody be happy and whole. I'll be at home in Jesus' name. I'll reach my goal.
All right. Yeah.
peace and content, and everybody will be happy at home. I'll be at home with Jesus, and tears will never be shed. Though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know.
How many is moving ahead? How many knows and is moving ahead? Amen. Never backsliding, but always moving ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you say it's been good to be in the house of God? I sure can say amen to that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have so enjoyed the presence of the Lord Jesus. I love preaching to you folks. God knows my heart. I love preaching to you people. You're awesome. Do y'all realize that? You're awesome. I mean, you are an awesome bunch to preach to. A man ain't been a preacher in his life unless he's had a chance to at least look at Happy Valley one time. I mean, y'all are just awesome. I love you with all of my heart. You know that, don't you? I want you to pray for me. I'm getting ready to go off in just a few short weeks. I'm actually supposed to have been in Africa right now. I had to change my plans last minute. But the Lord's opened up some doors in Europe for me. And I'll be leaving out in just a little over a week. Go preach out there for a couple of weeks. France, Belgium, some of them places. Pray for me. The Lord use me, will you? Amen. Amen. I certainly need your prayers that God will help us. You know, I'm so glad. I'm so glad He loves me. I just don't know what I would do in this life if I didn't have the love of the Lord Jesus buried deep in my heart. God bless you. May the Lord bless you real good. I've been invited to speak again at Brother Bill Yonsis tonight. So all of you that can, you're cordially invited to come. It'd be nice to see all of you come tonight. Amen. We enjoy seeing whoever gets to come. But if you can, we understand too. But 6 o'clock, I believe, service time. So be praying for the service tonight, if you will. Pray for Sam and I as we go. Amen. That the Lord will just use us as we go. We love you. We give you greetings now. As we have to leave you for just a little while, but only in body. Our hearts are rightly here with you. God bless you. May the Lord ever cause His face to shine on you. May He give you peace. God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord.
Up ahead, there's joy and gladness for my weary soul. Peace and contentment, everybody will be happy and oh, I'll be at home with Jesus, tears will never be shed, though so often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead, there's joy and gladness and for my weary soul. Ahead, there's peace and contentment. Everybody will be happy and whole. Oh, I'll be at home with Jesus, and tears will never be shed.